Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 35. Nate is your sound engineer.
And that's right.
That's right.
And we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Threw me off there, but I kept it. I kept it together, which is surprising.
Stay on the horse.
That's right. Just hold on for dear life.
You just never know how we're going to start this.
Well, right? You put a little pause, so I just jumped.
You did.
I did.
That's right.
That's right.
I think we're raring to go tonight.
Yeah, we are.
I got you some good topics.
You guys still doing okay? You doing all right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Since the last meeting we just did?
Yeah, of course.
Good.
God did not strike us dead.
No, he has not.
Yeah.
I know he sees all, but he must be taking a break because, yeah, I don't know.
He's enjoying what we're doing.
Yeah.
He's giving us a breather.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's taking a breather.
He's like, you guys are really.
I'll give these boys a pass.
Yeah.
Just for tonight. Just on Wednesdays.
Just on Wednesdays. You're right. I think, yeah. But, yeah, it's been fun so far. We're having a good night recording. So Mr. Sam over there has been kind of
He's having a fun night, too.
He is.
He's been a stinker, needless to say, when you guys hear this episode. Oof.
He may be stuck to me like glue light over here.
He is. Mm-hmm. He's Irish, my buddy, Sean. So, creepies, welcome again. And this is mini number 35. And Sean's going to tell you what we are going to discuss.
For 3-5, we are going to talk about... We always say, we can't get any creepier. Oh, we can't get any crazier. I think we might have outdone ourselves by this choice, which was my choice. So, of course, it's a crazy one. But we are going to talk about Saint Germain. I'll be honest with you. I thought about this morning. I had this weird little thought that I feel like Willy Wonka. You remember the chocolate factory?
Never heard of it.
Gene Wilder. When he gets them all in that little, what is it called? I don't know, the candy area, whatever. Where it's got the, chocolate waterfalls or whatever. And before he lets them go out there and he sings that pure imagination song, he says, hold your breath, make a wish, count to three. I feel like I'm like, okay, just wait. And now here, let's talk about Saint Germain.
Can you believe Sean's he's comparing himself to Willy Wonka?
A little bit.
I'll dare him.
No, all you got to do is watch that movie. And it is a bit kooky.
Yeah, it is.
So I feel like Gene Wilder unleashing some kookiness on you guys.
This is kooky.
Mm-hmm.
This is
spooky, kooky, and crazy.
It is. Well, the Saint Germain has a lot of different avenues, and this is a mini, so we can't go too crazy, but we're going to go up and down quite a few little paths with him, and I think you guys are going to be interested in all this. So if you look up the Count of Saint Germain, the Comte de Saint Germain, which is the French pronunciation, and I probably butchered that, 1691 or 1712 to 1784, he was a European adventurer with an interest in science, alchemy, and the arts. He achieved prominence in European high society as of the mid-1700s. Prince Charles of Hesse-Cassel considered him to be one of the greatest philosophers who ever lived. Saint Germain used a variety of names and titles, an accepted practice among royalty and nobility at the time. These include the Marquis de Montferrat, Comte Bellamare, Chevalier, which sounds like a car, Schoenning, Count Weldon, Comte Soltikoff, this sounds all made up, right? Which is probably true, Graf Taroji, and Prince Rogsinsky. Like anybody, you know, how would you keep up with all that?
I just call him Bill.
In order to deflect inquiries as to his origins, he would make far-fetched claims such as being 500 years old, leading Voltaire to sarcastically dub him the Wonder Man, and that he is a man who does not die and who knows everything. And we were talking about how wonderful Voltaire is, right?
Yeah.
Voltaire.
So Saint Germain is considered an immortal being, right? And supposedly in the 1920s, there was a guy that met Saint Germain in Mount Shasta. And he supposedly is now an ascended master and is bringing in what's called the seventh age of humanity. So he is trying to enlighten humanity. So people actually still revere him as an ascended master, but throughout history, he has popped up in very strange ways. And like I said, he gets this, this whole, notoriety of being this mysterious person. And he actually does show up in documented times throughout history, which is really strange. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to focus on his time in New Orleans. So we have quite a bit to cover here.
They even have pictures of, like, I can't remember her name offhand. Was it something Blavatsky? What's her name?
Madame Blavatsky. And that is Theosophy.
And there, yeah. And there's a picture of her in the center. And there's somebody on the right, left and right. And mm-hmm. it's like, not modern, but, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be him, but he should have died years ago. It's
so weird. He's the Count. And he is also Master Rokocheze or Master R. We'll go with Master R. That's his rap name. He's a legendary spiritual master of the ancient wisdom in various theosophical and post-theosophical teachings, which Madame Blavatsky is a huge part of that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Said to be responsible for the New Age culture of the Age of Aquarius and identified with the Saint or the Count Saint Germain, which was, again, somewhere between 1710 and 1784, who has been variously described as a courtier, adventurer, inventor, alchemist, pianist, violinist, and amateur composer. He apparently spoke six languages, played the violin and piano. He went to a lot of...
Like Nate said, effortlessly.
Effortlessly.
I always like that. I know. He played effortlessly. That's hard to say. Effortless of liberty.
We'll leave that up to Nate to say those kind of words.
Yeah, don't say that word if you get pulled over.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, is this summer?
I was driving effortlessly. All right. Get out of the car.
Get out of the car. Walk this line.
Some write that his name, Saint Germain, was invented by him as a French version of the Latin Sanctus Germanus, meaning holy brother. So in the Ascended Master teachings, but not in the traditional theosophy, the Master R, and I'm not going to say the Master, is a separate and distinct being from Saint Germain. So there's some weirdness that goes throughout all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So Let's get weird.
Looking up this guy, I'm like, I thought Aleister Crowley was all over the place. This dude's crazy too. It's all kinds of weirdness.
The guy that met him, it was, and I guess it was, I don't know, 1920s, 1930, it was Guy Ballard. He's the one that basically said that he met him and on several different occasions and revealed to him this plan for humanity and everything. So that's how that goes. It's called the I Am Discourses. So that is something that is still looked at. The encounters with Saint Germain, several theosophists and practitioners of alternate esoteric traditions have claimed to have met Saint Germain in the late 19th or 20th centuries. But Annie Besant said that she met the Count in 1896. C.W. Ledbetter claimed to have met him in Rome in 1926 and gave a physical description of him having brown eyes, olive-colored skin, and a pointed beard. According to Ledbetter, the splendor of his presence impels men to make obeisance. Ledbetter said that Saint Germain showed him a robe that had been previously owned by a Roman emperor, and that Saint Germain told him that one of his residences was a castle in Transylvania, because nobody could ever figure out where he got his money from, and supposedly he was the son of a Transylvanian prince. That is one of
his
stories.
Daddy Vlad.
His daddy Vlad. They didn't say Vlad. Yeah, but somebody like that.
They said they had no documentation of like any bank accounts, so they thought it just must have. Yeah, he just got it inherited and just had it. I mean, he didn't have any records of. Yeah.
So Guy Ballard was the founder of the IM activity. Claimed that he met Saint Germain on Mount Shasta in California. So this is August in 1930. So excuse me for saying 1920, pretty close. And that was initiated his training and experiences with other ascended masters in various parts of the world. Edgar Cayce, he's somebody we'll be talking about. The sleeping prophet was asked while in trance if Saint Germain was present. Cayce's reply was, "When needed." And that was, that was in 1935 that he said that.
Mm.
So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Dorothy Leon, as a living author, was claimed to have had several encounters with Saint Germain and is avowed disciples of his. Mr. Slav Simmer is a poet, claimed to have met Saint Germain in the mountains in Slovakia in 2011. But it's kind of crazy how all these different people, but also if you go back further, Napoleon writes about him. So he's in some of Napoleon's writings. He's also in Casanova, because Casanova is a real person. It's in his journals, and he talked about how he met this splendid individual who was very well versed. But Saint Germain could speak at these dinner parties throughout history and for hours and talk about things that had happened a hundred right, years ago before. Or hundreds mm-hmm. of years ago, and make it sound like he was there, because supposedly he actually was.
And he was also said to have been at the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. And it inspired the founding fathers.
Yeah.
I've heard that story.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting, this guy.
It goes way back into his previous incarnations. It says that he was, St. Germain's incarnations as St. Alban, Proculus, Sir Francis Bacon. So he originally, this is really crazy, ruler of a golden age civilization centered in a city called the City of the Sun, 70,000 years ago, located in the then lush and verdant area that is now the Sahara Desert, originally a colony set out from Atlantis.
Oh.
So he was supposedly a high priest in the civilization of Atlantis 13,000 years ago. It gets really kooky there. He was supposed to be Samuel, the 11th century BC religious leader in Israel, who served as a prophet, priest, and last of the Hebrew judges. Hesiod, which is a Greek poet we've actually mentioned here, back in 700 BC. Plato, the philosopher who studied with students of Pythagoras and scholars in Egypt, he established his own school back in 427 through 347 BC. Supposedly, now this is one that's way out there, that one of his incarnations is Saint Joseph, which is the first century AD. This is the husband of Mary and guardian of Jesus. So those people that claim that he was Joseph. Saint Alban, which I mentioned, the third or fourth century. That would have been the first British martyr. He had sheltered a fugitive priest, became a devout convert, yada, yada, yada. Proclus. This is the best one. This is the one we were talking about. Merlin. So in the 5th or 6th century, Britain, magician and counselor to King Arthur's Camelot, who inspired the establishment of the Order of the Knights of the Round Table. So Roger Bacon is who he was said to be. Christopher Columbus, he was said to be.
let's just name anybody and everybody.
Oh, my gosh. And my favorite, one of my favorites is Francis Bacon. So that's, so.
Is he related to Kevin Bacon?
He might be. 6 degrees of Francis Bacon and Kevin Bacon. Oh, my gosh.
But this guy, Nate, who knows?
Heck, it might be Kevin Bacon.
They said he was always dressed very in like very bejeweled and very like regally. It's just so weird, all the stuff behind him.
Well, they had said that, because he could turn, he can make gold. He could just turn just normal.
The alchemy. Substances.
Yeah. And he could, and then he adorned his clothes with pearls and gold and all.
So
that.
He was supposed to be an alchemist from way back, and that he had figured out the elixir of life and immortal life, and that's how he has traveled throughout centuries and lifetimes.
And I heard he had a lavish laboratory. They said he had a fancy laboratory that he would do his inventions and all that stuff. So, yeah, I guess. Who knows? I don't know.
His most recent sighting was, and there is a picture of this, was in 1970.
Yeah, I was trying to find that picture.
That to me is driving me nuts. I saw it out there too. It's a bit of a stretch, but that is the most recent claim was in 1970. So watch out. I wasn't even born yet.
I think I saw him.
You weren't even born yet.
When the camera was panning at the Super Bowl, I think he was at the Super Bowl.
He might have been at the Super Bowl with his elixir life. Yeah,
he was there at the
getting a Slurpee.
You Saint Germain?
Yeah. So the most.
Who's asking?
There is a time, though, and this was one of our favorites, and we really wanted to kind of focus on his time in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So there is a Jacques Saint Germain, so same name, the infamous Louisiana or New Orleans vampire. Flawless skin that never seems to age, eyes that pierce into your soul, never hungry, but always thirsty, powerfully charming, yet peculiar. They draw you in with their fascinating stories and hypnotic voice, but you can't help but think something seems a little strange. But you go anyway, down into the depths of their dark, eerie palace where their treasures lie, only to realize that you are their next pawn. You clench all of your muscles as chills run down your spine. Someone's thirsty. As they flash their crooked smiles at you and you see the teeth as sharp as a knife, you know you found yourself in the midst of monsters you've only heard about in books. Vampires have long been fantasized in folklore and mystical tales throughout the ages, as we can't help but be enchanted by these curious creatures. And unlucky for us, here there in New Orleans, vampires can be closer than you might think. So it says, who is he? Picture this. In the 1700s, France, you're invited to a dinner party filled with prestigious guests. You show up to a lavish mansion and the room is bursting with conversation. A man walks in, almost gliding as if floating on air. This just makes me think of like Bram Stoker's Dracula, right? Basically. He speaks in a way in which you've never heard before. His eyes lock in. He speaks of events hundreds of years prior with such detail you could swear he was there. Comte Saint-Germain mysteriously came on the scene in France in the 1700s. The record suggests he may have been alive long before, even during the time of Christ. French historian and philosopher Voltaire, King Louis the 15th, and Italian writer and adventurer Casanova all claim to have known him. Voltaire even said that he was a man that never dies. So it talks about how he ended up in New Orleans in the same kind of parties where he would not eat anything and he would talk, you know, for hours on end. And it is so weird that he shows up. So to me, all this time when he's going and he's seen this as this immortal being, it's like, well, duh, he's definitely got to be a vampire, right?
Well, I was looking at this, this couple of paragraphs I have. It says, a few months after he arrived in New Orleans, Saint-Germain invited a woman, possibly a lady of the night, to join him at his home. As she was examining some of his belongings, Saint-Germain allegedly jumped at her and began biting her neck. The woman was saved when someone showed up and knocked loudly at his door. The noise distracted him long enough for the woman to escape his grasp and jump off the balcony. People on the street assumed she had fallen, and her terrified screaming got the attention of the police. The woman told the story of her horrifying encounter with Saint-Germain, but she was never brought in for questioning. So.
Gosh, yeah.
I don't know. It's oh yeah, New Orleans is an awesome city anyway, which I would love to go there sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a thing that to continue what you said.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was the police went to investigate his home or you mm-hmm. know wherever he's living, apartment, whatever it mm-hmm. was. when they investigated, they found clothes from all different time periods stained in blood.
Gosh.
There's absolutely no food, no utensils in the house, and there were bottles of what seemed to be red wine, but were in fact human blood upon further inspection.
Yeah, they said the police saw those and thought, okay, well, those, you know, they were drinking his wine to see what it tasted like, and they were like, oh my gosh, it was wine mixed with human blood, and they spat it out. It's like, mm. oh my gosh.
And then he wasn't there. And he never returned back there.
Well, they said of all the cities, you know, because if he jumped throughout history the way that they're talking about him doing that, that he would have, New Orleans would have been a great place for him to be because there's so many like shadow, you know, crazy people that would have been there, crooks and you mm-hmm. know, people of the night, right? And that if you know you could get away with literally murdering New Orleans, I mean that's oh, yeah. wouldn't have been that hard to do,
right?
But then there were also other vampires that were alleged to be there too. And they talked about the Carter brothers. It says in the 1930s, John and Wayne Carter worked as longshoremen on the Mississippi River. One evening before the brothers returned home from work, a young girl escaped from their French Quarter apartment and ran to the police. Her wrists were cut, but not severely enough for her to bleed to death. She claimed she had been locked up for weeks and the brothers had been feeding on her blood. The police immediately investigated and found four other young women tied to chairs with their wrists cut. Over a dozen dead bodies turned up in the apartment drained of their blood. The brothers were arrested, tried, and executed for their crimes, and their remains interred in the family tomb. Later, when another Carter family member passed away, the tomb was opened to make room for his remains, but there were no remnants of John or Wayne in the grave to clear. To this day, there have been reports of sightings of the brothers wandering the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. So they say that Saint Germain was just one of many of these vampires, and they were like these dark, shadowy figures that would be seen, you know, jumping from balconies and whatever, yeah, still feeding on people.
And, I think we were talking, you heard of the coffin girls that mm-hmm. were brought from, mm-hmm. was it Africa? I think it was Africa. I could
France.
Yes. Sorry, I mm-hmm. said
Africa. No. It's okay.
Yeah, I knew. And so they were brought over, and then
the Casquette girls.
The Casquette girls. Yeah,
they say the Casquette girls. The reason they got that name, they brought mm-hmm. all of their possessions in these little bags, and when you see them, they're actually not very big, but they were in the shape of little caskets. But people would say, well, these Casquette girls are coming over. And so people imagined like these big, huge coffins. So when they came over, they said not all of them survived. A lot of them died of, you know, whatever the yellow fevers or the whatever, you know, the diseases that they encountered. Mm-hmm. And they said they came through Mobile. And some of the ones, they realized that they were going to they were trying to populate New Orleans. They wanted wives for the men, but a lot of characters mm-hmm. there. And so people, they said when they got off at Mobile, some of them like fled because they did not want to go to New Orleans. But the ones that did make it there to New Orleans were probably so gaunt, pale, they looked like death. And then they were carrying these quote unquote caskets as mm-hmm. luggage. And rumor got around that they were just bringing the undead. So that's where they got this reputation. And they got connected to Saint Germain in that way too, because it's like, I mean, we're just ridden with vampires. And New Orleans has a huge history, obviously, of all the spookiness and the voodoo and magic and ghosts. Yeah. Everything.
And I think I could be off, but I'll have to look into a little bit more. But I think the girls were where they were staying, or some of the girls stayed. There's a building in New Orleans. Are you looking at it?
Yeah,
and
I can
read. They have it locked up now, mm-hmm. and they will not let anybody go in there, and they will arrest you or you know, for trespassing.
It says one of the most talked about stories in the legend of the Casquette Girls are the Ursuline Convent.
The old
Ursuline Convent on mm-hmm. Cartress Street is the oldest building still standing in the Mississippi River Valley. The building no longer functions as a convent. The first floor is a museum. The second floor is the home of the archdiocese archives dating back to 1718. But what's on the third floor behind those mysterious shutters, that's always tightly secured. Mm-hmm. Nobody seems to know the answer to this question, but there are speculations. The Ursuline nuns were sent to New Orleans from France in 1725 to establish a hospital and educate the young girls. Most of the early settlers were pirates, scoundrels, murderers, and thieves, prisoners who had been exiled from France and promised if they reformed in Louisiana, they could return to France. The men outnumbered the women 5-1, so in 1727, the city's founder, Jean-Baptiste Le Monet Benville, sent two nuns back to France to ask the king to send over marriageable young women. So the funny thing is they did. They had those... It is locked still to this day mm-hmm. with nails that are supposed to be blessed from the Pope. But they said every once in a while, those doors fly open and basically all the undead, you know, vampires and vampresses or whatever fly out and feed. And they said that those you're still not allowed in there.
No, you're not at all.
But they said there were two reporters that had tried to investigate. They asked to be able to see it so that they could report on it. They were told they can't. So they broke in. Mm-hmm. And they said that those two reporters were found. Their dead bodies were drained of blood and mm-hmm. nearly decapitated.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's
isn't that great?
Insane. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Isn't that great? It's awesome.
The stories.
I know. I'm getting sicker and sicker as this.
That one always fascinates me. I like that story.
As this podcast goes, I'm getting sicker and sicker.
I know. Yeah. They said at the Saint Germain, like you said, he was never seen eating, and he always mm-hmm. held a glass of red liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
what
gosh.
Was that red liquid?
Yeah.
I just love how this all ties together, honestly.
Oh, I know. He's fascinating. Yeah. And what's been interesting, I've seen, like they say, he could be 4,000 years old because he might be a... Could have been a true vampire, or I mean, at least hundreds of years old. Just crazy.
This goes back like 600 to 530 BC. The count claims to have received the staff of Moses from one of Moses's great grandsons during the time of Cyrus in Babylon.
Wow.
Oh. He lived. It says that he might have lived as a missionary under the rule of Emperor Valentinian the First. As a missionary during this time, he traveled to Cornwall, England.
Hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh.
He's behind. You know what? I bet he built the. I bet he built Stonehenge.
Yeah. Well, you know he did. Well, that's actually that's Merlin. Our, that's right here. No. Yeah. Exactly. Well, he was supposed to be Merlin. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Just over here. Bring it. Bring it over here. Yeah. There you go. Stop right there. That's where I want it.
It said he had rooms at the Tower of London in 1307 to 1327 under King Edward's the Second's rule. Oh, he's.
Can you imagine it if it were true, living through all those different eras?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of crazy to think about. Did you see where he? They thought he was also involved with the Masons, Freemasons.
That I don't. I'm not surprised. Secret societies galore, probably there too.
Yeah, I listened to a 25-minute video and
the Rosicrucians.
They didn't get into a whole lot because they were just naming all the things he was into or associated with, and they just said in a quick, they said, yeah. Thought to be a member of the Freemasons. Same thing. I was like, oh, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Well, he supposedly died, right? And then they said, but he was still seen. He's been seen through time after
years
that.
Later or whatever,
and
300
so it's
years.
Almost like he faked his death or just went on down the road, just like, showing up in New Orleans like, here I am.
Right.
He was a Renaissance man, to say the least, or being.
That's how I'm described, a Renaissance
man. Oh, absolutely. Oh, right. But it's just amazing. He was taken prisoner in 1701. In Vienna. Oh my gosh. It's just, he had quite the life and still apparently is having quite the life.
Still partying.
He is still partying out there.
Him and Alistair and Tesla. They're crazy guys.
I know. It's just every time we get a crazy historical figure, we can top it with, I don't know if we could ever top Saint Germain though.
No, this character, I mean, literally, he's all over the place.
Yeah.
Decades to decades. Yeah. Years, hundreds of years, thousands, whatever.
That's the funny thing is he always appeared to be the same, about the same age. And they said about 40, 45 years old.
Who was the queen? She said, I think I met you. And she said, the Saint Germain I met was 45 years old. And you seem to be.
I think it was like a duchess.
Something.
Or a queen. Yeah. It was some royalty. Duchess,
yeah. And she said, you seem to be that age now. And it was
years ago. She said, are you sure I didn't? I must have met your father.
And right. And he said, no.
And he told stories just of their meetings and the conversations they had. And
goes,
she,
no,
was,
it's me.
She was astounded that it was still him.
Yeah.
It was the earlier 1700s. And then he saw her again in the later 1700s.
Right.
And introduced himself as the same person.
Yeah. I'm sold. I don't want to meet him, but I'm sold. Yeah.
No, he's not invited to record with us.
It's just amazing with his timeline how often he came up in all these different places and all these different... he's kind of like the Forrest Gump of immortality.
That's exactly
right.
Awesome. That's true.
Mm-hmm. They should make... You know what? They really should make like a movie about him. They really should.
You know, that's a perfect way. He is the Forrest Gump.
When he met Voltaire, it was in 1758, and Voltaire mentions him in a letter that he sent to Frederick of Prussia. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. He's interesting.
See, I'm glad we made this into a mini because, I don't think we'd know when to stop. But this is why we give you these little bits. I mean, even on the full episodes, but these mini episodes are fun just to say... Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you know about this? And then just drop it in your lap and say, okay, have fun with that. Because you could spend hours looking into his life and some of the people that have written about him. And then they take this guy and they run off with him and he's an ascended master now. And it's just pretty crazy. And this is why I feel like Willy Wonka saying, take a look and you'll find. Oh my gosh. It's just, it does. It takes pure imagination to figure this guy out.
So there's a guy in the 1970s, a Frenchman named Richard Chanfray, mm-hmm. claimed to be the Comte de Saint-Germain. He appeared on French television and claimed to be able to turn lead into gold, and he took his own life in 1983. An arguably more believable modern incarnation of Saint-Germain has been seen lurking around New Orleans, moving with amazing... It's not written right. And bothering tourists. So says he reportedly wears a black leather jacket and calls himself Jack. Maybe Saint Germain just couldn't stay away from a city with so many ghost stories, or maybe he just missed Bourbon Street. So
there's
another story.
Absolutely.
He goes by Jack to bother tourists. Yeah.
Jack 2000.
Just Jack.
Just Jack. Just right? Jack. Now that's a good reference.
That is a good reference.
Will and Grace. Jenna, if she ever listens to this, will be very proud of that.
Yeah, right. That's funny. I'm that's great. I hope the listeners liked it.
I am very interesting all character Saint Germained out. In a mini, he's not going to exhaust us, but can you imagine doing very, you know, either a full or a two-part right, on no, him? Oh, my gosh. I would be done.
I have a headache.
Yes. So thank you, Saint Germain, for that little...
That is a very fascinating character, though.
He just really is. All the Make your head spin.
Mm-hmm. So
trying to get... It's like trying to contain him in a bottle. You know, he's like a genie, like getting him back in the bottle. You yeah. can't quite do it, so...
He's fun to discuss, so that was fun.
I enjoyed that, very much so.
And I'm going to look over my man, Nate. Help us.
What time is it?
What time is it?
What am I supposed to do? I don't know.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Is what
Well, Bill's a good character, so... But that's a wrap.
I wasn't sure where he was going with that. Thank you, Nate. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That's a wrap. I will accept it.
Well, I call him Bill.
Call him Bill.
That's easy. Yeah, well, with all these names.
Hey,
yes.
Kevin. Hey, Bill. Well, Jack. Who?
At least you didn't call him Richard.
That's true. Creepies, I hope you enjoyed that. I don't know what else to say. That was Middle-Aged Mini number 35 on Saint Germain. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
See you.